welcome to episode 42 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. March is Women's History Month, and there are so many important historical women who have paved the way for the amazing women who are here now. In honor of Women's History Month, all of the interviews this month will be with some incredible women who will be sharing stories of heartbreak, tragedy, triumph, empowerment, and inspiration. My guest today is the first of what will be a month of awesome interviews with some awesome women. I am very excited to welcome my guest today. She is here to talk about an interesting topic. Some of you may have heard of it before. Some of you may be scratching your heads when you hear her start talking about it. But it's definitely something interesting to think about. And actually, when you do think about it, makes a lot of sense. So I am going to turn it over to her and let her introduce herself and tell everyone a little bit about who she is and what she does. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I really love your podcast. I love the title of it. When I saw the title, I said, this is definitely one I'd love to submit to unapologetically. I love it. Love it so much. So thank you. So I am actually a licensed therapist in the state of Virginia. I have been practicing in a variety of settings since about 2017. I've practiced in schools. Right now I do inpatient, and I also do outpatient as well. I work with a variety of people for mental health. And so I've been submitting my story because I was recently in a relationship with what we call a covert narcissist. I'm sure you've heard of that, right? I mean, everyone's been hearing about narcissism, thank God, on social media nowadays, right?
I feel like it's all over. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about it.
And I'm really glad. I got some opinions about it, that there's some things that are great out there on social media, but some are not accurate. It's a spectrum. There's different levels and everything. So essentially, I was discarded by someone I thought who was the love of my life. So I decided to go into intellectual mode, which you do at the beginning phases of healing to try to figure out, well, what just happened. Yeah. And I started to just go back into myself in my early days of graduate school and just figure out, okay, what's going on with me? Because we always have to self-reflect too. Yeah. And I found the concept of Peter Pan and Wendy syndrome. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of it vaguely. So for those of our listeners that may have no idea what that is, can you explain a little bit about that syndrome?
So it was coined in the 1980s by Dr. Dan Kiley. And I do want to start off by saying this is not an official diagnosis. This is not in the DSM-5. It's not official. It's basically a pop culture psychology term. And in my opinion, I feel like it needs to be brought back because it really does describe the Peter Pan and Wendy syndrome dynamic in a relationship. So I will break down the characteristics. Again, you can read the original book by Dr. Dan Kiley. It's published in the 1980s. I don't know if you can still get a hold of it. But essentially what it is an unhealthy relationship between couples. It's like a codependent mothering figure. So I'll sort of break it down a little bit. So someone with Peter Pan syndrome, I'll break down those traits. They have difficulty with responsibilities and commitment. Narcissistic traits. Now, obviously, they're not always all on the spectrum as completely abusive, but they are considered a covert narcissist light, essentially. Okay. They have issues with work and career interests. They're constantly changing, having issues working with business partners. They're very self-centered, but they're also reliant on others. They avoid criticism due to their very overly fragile ego. They're very much they have victim mentality. They have difficulty controlling impulsive behaviors. That could be anything like gambling. I mean, it ranges. Mm-hmm. Avoidance of and here was my case, avoidance of responsibility and accountability, especially during conflict resolution attempts. They do not like to engage in adult conflict resolution. And with female relationships, again, this was meant for men who never grew up, but now we can see that it can span across all genders. But according to Dr. Dan Kiley, people with this syndrome have difficulty with maternal relationships, and they often treat their partners as mother figures, and they look for their partner to replace the motherly figure over time. So very unhealthy. Now, again, and I will go ahead and tell myself I'm a recovering Wendy, which is a codependent dynamic. So people with Wendy syndrome, and typically associated with women, they feel essential for others and they feel like they're indispensable. So there's an ego there too. They think of love as a sacrifice and resignation, not a two-way street. They encourage attachment and codependency in others, which basically an anxious attachment. And they find themselves even subconsciously assuming a motherly figure of their partner, caretaking. And as you know, as women, we are nurturers, and sometimes it happens naturally, but we don't need to be doing this in a supposedly a healthy relationship. They do try to control others just because of anxiety, but they also try to avoid upsetting them. They people please, essentially. And this is the biggest one, and this is where I'm on my healing journey. They feel the need to care and protect others, but at the expense of their own mental health and well-being. So when you have two people in this codependent type of relationship, it causes a lot of problems, a lot of problems. So that's essentially a breakdown of what that syndrome is as a relationship dynamic.
And I'm sitting here listening to you and like, okay, I'm a recovering Wendy too, because so much of that, I'm like, yeah, that was me. And like, I'm still recovering from the relationship that I was in and all of the things that I went through. And it's interesting to hear when you break it down like that too, and think about how it was put into a movie for children to watch. And in a sense, it kind of, I don't want to say brainwashes, but like sends those subliminal messages about what relationships are supposed to look like.
Well, it's interesting because during that Disney era, I know exactly which one you're talking about. There was the princess and the Prince Charming. There was that dynamic too, which a little bit healthier than this Peter Pan and Wendy. There was problems with that too. But yeah, you're right. Especially when you watch the Disney movie, he's seen as just a boy and it's fun and it's great. But if you see Wendy's character, she's very much, yeah, she assumes this mother role, and it's really just dark and twisted. If you read the actual book, and now I haven't, but a lot of people have said to me that the Peter Pan character in the original story, he's not a good person. He's not a good character.
Yeah, I mean, I've never read the book either, but even just thinking about like some of the things from when I watched the movie, I mean, it was a long time ago, but like what you're saying, it makes sense thinking about it now as an adult about how unhealthy that dynamic really was.
And I think some of that, because I again, don't quote me, I think it was made in the 1950s, the Disney version of Peter Pan and Wendy. So I'm just wondering if that subconsciously came over of the 1950s housewife. You're expected to be a mother, not just to your own children, but take care of your partner and everything. Now, again, with everything, this could span across all relationships, all, sexualities, anything. This is not a good dynamic to be caught up in, whether it's a reverse and the woman is Peter Pan or the man is Peter Pan or non-binary, whatever. It's still just that codependent caretaking dynamic to be aware of in relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, because there are so many different dynamics that I don't think you think about them when you're in it so much. It's really when you get out and you take a step back and like kind of examine everything that you're like, wow, that was happening. That was happening. That was happening.
When you're in it, you are kind of just blindsided. And for me, it took him basically tossing me like trash, discarding me, to kind of say, oh my gosh, what happened, and to really sit and examine this. And I was definitely in a dark place, and as you know, as a recovering people pleaser, putting all the blame on myself of what's wrong with me, how could I have been better, while at the time not putting any responsibility on him, because I just thought he was the most warm. I mean, he was the love of my life, so I thought. But then I had to really sit and think, wow, what's this dynamic been going on here? So, like, for example, I was just talking to people last night when I was at a get together. He would want to do things like stay out all night, and that's fun sometimes. I do enjoy that, but playing games. He was really into pool and darts. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even look at another dart board or pool hall at this point. But if there was an event the next day that meant something to me, he was fine being tired and low energy. But it's like, well, okay, but I was up in high energy for your event. For so again, it's that immature, non-adult dynamic happening there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just so crazy too how much like those dynamics play into the things that we watch and that we see and that we experience, because when you stop and think about it, they're everywhere. Which is very unhealthy, because again, we have these like fantasies about what relationships are supposed to look like because of what we see like on TV, or we read in a book, or we hear other people talk about. And then it's like you get into a relationship and it looks nothing like that, and then you're like, it almost reinforces the stigmas in a sense that you already have about like yourself and relationships. Like, what am I doing wrong? How did I mess up? So it's just so crazy how all of these things around us like basically reinforce that stuff.
Right. And I always say a good, and I think I said this on another podcast. If you want to know a good example of a film where reverse Peter Pan syndrome happens, he actually gets cured of it, is actually Mrs. Doubtfire. That's one of our favorite films of all time growing up, I'm sure.
Love
But
that
when
movie.
you really look at it at the beginning, he was a Peter Pan. He was fun and a loving dad, but he was ridiculous in between jobs. And I remember at the time looking at the mom character of just like, wow, she's just bitchy and she's just so uptight. But then you're like, oh my gosh, you see it now as an adult. She's carrying this burden, the stress. She's basically mothering four children. And so what was interesting, again, it's a perfect example of reverse Peter Pan. He has to become Miss Doubtfire to get that balance of, hey, we all like to have be Peter Pan sometimes and have fun. That's part of life. We don't want to completely lose our inner child, but he also had a lot of maturing to do. And I think when he became Miss Doubtfire, he came to the other side of it, realizing, okay, I need a balance of maturity, responsibility, but still having fun. So I always say that's a good movie to watch if as a like a reverse Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, balance is so important in all aspects of life too. You know, you can't have too much of one or too much of the other, or not enough of one or the other. So yeah, that's really important. So this podcast is all about stigmas. So what are some of the stigmas that you can think of that are related to these types of relationships, either from the inside or from the outside? Because I do think there's a ton on both sides of this here.
I don't know if there's a lot of stigma with this, and that's why it's I'm talking about it because I think along for a long time it's been normalized, even just jokes. Like I hear a lot of times in TV shows, women joke, "Well, I've got three kids," referring to the husband. And yeah, that's the thing. There's not a lot of stigma, and it should be. It really should be moving towards a healthy, equal partnership and not this codependent, mothering, invalidating relationship. But again, unfortunately, I see a lot of people stuck in these types of dynamics. So I would like to bring more stigma. I know that's usually not something you want to hear, but with this, yeah, I'd like to bring more.
But I mean, I understand what you're saying though, because I think what I hear you saying is that, like, kind of what I said earlier, is it's been normalized so much that the women are the
Right.
mothers in the relationships, and we're supposed to take care of everyone, like you said, at the
Correct.
expense of ourselves. So maybe the right word for this isn't really a stigma, but it's kind of what we've been conditioned to think and believe and normalize. So we're all stuck here now, like, wait a second, I thought this is how it was supposed to be.
Right, exactly. Like we're supposed to not have any boundaries. Like for example, the night I feel like that ended our relationship was one night I was getting really irritated because we were up late and I was like, well, we have an event the next day. And of course, me interrupting his fun was me being controlling and I was being passive aggressive and rude, and I did apologize for that because I was, but it was me being controlling and just, it's like, wow, I thought we were a team here. So you're okay with being hungover or just low energy for something in the morning that means a lot to me. But as long as you're in the moment, again, I'm not saying this doesn't happen sometimes, like life happens, but it was happening more and more frequently. And
Right.
it's just, yeah, it's not healthy at all.
Yeah. And I mean, that's an important distinction for people to hear because obviously, like, no relationship is perfect all the time. There is, you know, there are bad days. There are things people go through things. But I think it's important to recognize when those things are the norm and they're happening more than the good things, that's when you kind of need to take a step back and analyze and reevaluate and all of that. So.
Right, exactly. And that's what I've had to do when he basically discarded me because I was setting boundaries and I just wanted to do some grown-up things. We were supposed to be establishing a future, and a lot of that, some of it was happening, but a lot of it wasn't. And so in his mind, he was happier with friends. He was happier just, yeah, doing the Peter Pan stuff. So it's like, okay, well, so yeah, he didn't quote unquote need me anymore. And yeah, so that's how I started just examining all this from, a healing perspective for my own personal thing, but also from a therapeutic perspective too.
Yeah. And again, like, don't get us wrong here. There's nothing wrong with having fun and doing fun things as
Oh
adults.
yeah.
But like you said, it's all about balance. You have to be able to do both and not like just totally disregard your responsibilities and the things that you're supposed to do as an adult.
Right. You
Again.
cannot stay at the carnival forever.
Right.
That's like the metaphor that I look at when I just think of that. If it were up to him, he could stay and play pool and darts and whatever forever. That's and again, I enjoy those things. I do enjoy going to pubs and I do enjoy that, but guess what? Sometimes you guess what? You've got to be an adult.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, if there was one thing that you would want the listeners to take away from this conversation, whether it be again, somebody being in a relationship like this or even looking, you know, in from the outside, what would it be?
I would say to really examine yourself, really examine your boundaries, your wants, your needs for the future. And if you don't have that self-love, which I did not have for a while, you can end up in a dynamic like this. You really can. So I would just say really make sure, especially if you're in a relationship with someone even just slightly on the narcissistic spectrum, you really have to sit and examine yourself and ask yourself, well, why am I okay with this? What's going on with me? And that's something that I had to sit with too, because it's not enough for me just to be angry at him. Now, I've got a right to be, and what he did to me was not my fault per se, but also I had to sit and say, okay, why did I allow this to happen for so long? Right? So I always say, make sure that you're working to create a secure attachment within yourself, because that will bring healthy relationships in all aspects of your life.
Absolutely. I love that that was your answer too, because I was actually listening to a podcast a few weeks ago and they were talking about like self-love and why so many times people put up with things that maybe they shouldn't have for so long. And like now they've healed, they've done the work on themselves, they're in a different place now, and it's difficult for them to find relationships. It's because they do fully love themselves now and they won't stand for certain things that they allowed before because they weren't in a place where they fully loved themselves. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've like me, I'm not ready to go on the scene yet, but I feel really good now going into it because I know what I will tolerate and what I won't. For sure.
Yeah, and there's
For sure.
nothing.
You don't have when you after you're I mean I'm still doing the self work and I'm still pretty vulnerable some days, so I do have to be mindful. I'm really just focusing on my career and building this like my own podcast and just yeah, career, friends, family. That's my main thing now. But it does feel really good to know that when I do get out there and I hopefully fall in love again, I'm not going to be met with the rejection trauma that he put me through. I'm just not.
Yeah.
So
But again, I think people need to hear that too. Like, it's okay to set boundaries and say, these are the things I will deal with and these are the things I won't. Because again, I think that's something else that we've been kind of told, like, we're selfish or we're irrational or insert any adjective there, that like for setting boundaries. And it's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to say, these are the things I will not deal with. And that's okay. It's really okay.
yeah, it absolutely, absolutely. And again, it may not feel good in the beginning. It might feel uncomfortable, but long term, I guarantee you, I think it's going to feel so much better and eventually lead you into a healthy relationship, not just with yourself, but just different friends, family. So, yeah.
Definitely. So I feel like this is a good time to ask this question. I
Okay.
ask all of my guests if they have a favorite quote or message that they would like to share with their listeners. I'm huge on inspirational quotes and things like that. So do you have one that you would like to share?
Oh man, I did not actually look at this question in depth. I have so many inspirational quotes. One that does stick out to me is the one by Winston Churchill. If I hope I'm quoting it right. If you're going through hell, keep going. That has been just sitting with me like right at the very beginning at when he discarded me back in April. Yeah, when I was in my darkest place, I still had that quote. And I used to have that quote posted on my wall somewhere. I need to actually get it back up. But yeah, that was still just there with me. It's like, okay, this is going to pass. This is temporary. You are worthy. You are worth it, even if it doesn't feel that way now. So, and also a more cynic, well, it's not a cynical one, but a silly one, but one to listen to. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I don't know who made that quote, but especially if you're getting into like a narcissistic relationship, you got to be careful of things like love bombing. Because again, go back to that quote, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yes, definitely. Those are both great quotes. Yes. Thank
Of
you for sharing those.
course.
All right. So where can people find you? Social media? Do you have a website? Anything like that?
Yes, I do. You can find me on I mainly go on Instagram. That's my main one. My Instagram is Lauren, Lauren, and it's underscore wiki wiki. It's a variation of my last name. And I also have a blog website where you can email me. And again, I haven't launched my own podcast yet, but you'll find all that information on those socials too. And my blog website is Lauren Wick therapist.blogspot.com. But again, if you just go on Instagram, that's where you'll find just kind of the center hub of all my socials.
Awesome. I will link all of that information in the show notes for today's episode. And
Awesome.
before we go, I have one last question.
Sure.
How do you show up in the world unapologetically?
Oh man. I would say that I get up every day and I do a lot of affirmations, and I have gotten really back into the meditations and just recognizing, hey, this is who I am. Whether I'm going through something or whether I need some help with things, this last year has really made me show up even more unapologetically every day, because I'm in this era where it's, if you don't like me, okay, or if I'm not for you, okay. So I just show up just trying to be the best version of myself every day. And also a lot of that involves listening to your body, your mental health. Like for example, it's okay to have a low day and say, I'm not really having a good day today. I need to just do some extra self-care and I isolate a little bit. Now, we don't want to get into too much isolation because that we're kind of leaning into that depression thing, but just listening to yourself every single day and just starting the day off is just with having that core belief, those core belief sunglasses, I call them, of I am worthy. I might mess up today. That's okay. But I am worthy. I'm a decent person. I have moods. I make mistakes. But if you keep all those things in your mind of I am worthy, I think you show up for yourself just in any situation.
I love that. I love affirmations so much. They're like my favorite thing in the world. I have reminders set on my phone that go off at certain times during the day where I like stop and recite whatever the affirmation is on my phone.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I love that so much. Well, thank you again for joining me. Thank you for sharing the information that you have on this topic and, your experience going through this as well. I do think it's an important conversation, even though on the surface it sounds the title of it sounds a little silly. I do think there's a lot of important information and substance to it. So I really do appreciate you joining me today and sharing all of that with the listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. And you're right. It does sound silly, the title Peter Pan and Wendy Syndrome, but the thing is why I'm latching on to it and why I think it needs to be brought back is because guess what? It gets people's attention. It's like, oh, that looks really silly, but people will look at it and say, oh, wow, maybe I need to examine this relationship dynamic. So, but thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to thank Lauren again for joining me and talking about the Peter Pan and Wendy syndrome and sharing her story of being discarded and how she's working through it and helping other women along the way. All of her information is linked in the show notes for today's episode. Before I go, I'd like to ask you all to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. I appreciate all your feedback, and your reviews help others discover the show. Also, I'm now offering life coaching services, and I'd be honored to assist you with how to practice self-love, mindset transformation, gratitude practices, and help you learn how to overcome the barriers that are holding you back from living a full, unapologetic life. My website is coming soon, but in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at unapologetically_overcoming. And if you'd like more information, please send me a DM. Thank you all for listening. And remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.